look at it because it details a lot more information that doesn't justice in a 15-minute presentation. It is my honor to mention our final presenter, and I think it's going to happen on a tandem basis, so I'm going to introduce the presenter who I have on file and let you introduce your colleague. This is presentation is the result of a talk story intervention for intimate partner violence, or IPV, and the consideration of implications for policy. The presenter, as I have it, is Chris Yanuari, who is a program coordinator for the Consortium for Health, Safety, and Support under the Domestic Violence Action Center. Chris received his Master's in Social Work at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, while serving as a coordinator for Prevention, Awareness, Understanding Violence Program, which engages young men to help reduce violence in the community. His areas of interest include anti-human trafficking and substance abuse, and I'll turn it over to him.
And I would like to thank you so much, and I'd like to introduce Cindy Yancey Spencer, who is the Vice President of the Domestic Violence Action Center in Honolulu, Hawaii. She's been doing anti-violence work for 37 years, I think, and she loves the blues, and she loves to travel, and this is Cindy.
Yeah, so we're going to go hear some blues tonight. Since we're in Chicago, we have to do that, and we really are appreciating the sun. Aloha. I want to do a real quick rundown on our program because I really want to have this time be spent with Ka'ina and Chris sharing the community members' ownership of this work and the wonderful work that they are doing around that ownership. We are the Consortium for Health, Safety, and Support. We originally were a collaboration with the University of Hawaii Nursing Department, as well as a major health community health organization, along with the program that Chris Ka'ina and I are involved with, the Domestic Violence Action Center, which is a service provided to intimate partner violence that provides legal and social services to survivors. We are funded by the Office on Women's Health, whose focus with this research was looking at the health disparities for women and girls. Our focus has been on looking at the impact of intimate partner violence on the health of Native Hawaiian and Filipino women and girls. The reason we chose to work with these cultural populations is because they are disproportionately represented in our domestic violence homicide cases. When we began this research, we had a statistic of 70% of the women that were murdered in our state were either Native Hawaiian or Filipino. So we thought this is where we wanted to start. Certainly what we know is that both cultures have experienced the underbelly of colonialization and historical trauma. We based our work on findings that we documented through a previous research study where we were involved in looking at the acceptability of violence, intimate partner family violence, in four basic cultures. And what came out of that was that intimate partner violence is a gendered crime, particularly created and by men against women. Doesn't mean that men can't be battered, but the numbers certainly support that what we're talking about is a gendered crime. It has significant, as we were shared very well in the previous presentation, has a lot of impact on both the physical and the psychological well-being of women and girls. And that the women, the population, is not harmonious. It's homogeneous, I'm sorry. Services that they don't take into culture. The services that we provide are kind of based on a Western approach and don't take into consideration the nuances and the strong needs of the cultures that we're speaking about. We understand from listening to our talk story community members that they go first and foremost to their family and to their friends. And so that inspired us to go into the community and find those people who were the leaders of the community, not necessarily elected officials, but the people that everybody went to, and to provide them with information about intimate partner violence and also educate them around the resources that were in the community. Our work is definitely guided by the critical social theory, and simply said, we invite people to work on this issue who are normally not invited at the table. It's not because they are not the leaders in the community. They are those what we call aunties and uncles on the block that everybody goes to. They go there to find out where's the best buy to place to buy your tires, or they go to them because they're respected in the community and trustworthy, and they go to them for their issues of in their relationship, in their intimate relationships. By giving the opportunity, if you will, for community members to begin to own this issue, to find out their own solutions that will work for their neighborhoods, for their churches, for their canoe clubs, for their hula halals. We shift them that power base into the community and to change the power base of that community. Our research is based on community participatory research. We make different assumptions. We didn't go into communities and say, you have a problem, we're here to fix it. Instead, we created talk story groups where we asked people, do you have a problem with intimate partner violence? And if so, what does it look like? And what have you done in the past that has been successful at either interrupting it once it's begun or perhaps even preventing it? And what are you willing now to do? What do you think might work for, again, your neighborhoods, your churches, et cetera, the places where you live? We did not see communities that have violence present as irreparable. Instead, we saw them as communities where transformation, cultural transformation, social norm change could happen, and did. And Chris are going to talk about this. The mission statement for the consortium is, we envision a day when girls, women, and their families are healthy and free of violence. We envision safe communities that have influence to end domestic violence, where support is community-driven, culturally appropriate, accessible to all, and when everyone takes responsibility for being part of the solution. We use the form that is very local, very familiar to local cultures, both the Filipino and the Native Hawaiian, which we call Talk Story, and that's where people come together to talk about their issues and hopefully have the opportunity to come together in a collective manner and find solutions for those issues. Our goal, again, was to find the aunties and the uncles on the block. Those were the undesignated but known to all champions and leaders of the community, and we're going to share some of those stories with you. In the talk stories, we begin to collect the stories of people about how they've been successful to interrupt or prevent violence. And with their permission, we take them to the next talk story group, share those stories, and say, what do you think about this? Would this work in your community? And then continue to gather these stories that come out of our talk story groups. So I want to turn it over to Chris and Kaena to talk to you about the different events and really introduce you to our community people. This work has ended in bringing people together, organizing them around the issue, having them own the issue, mobilize, and create action to prevent domestic violence. Thank you for your attention.
Okay. Thank you so much, Cindy. So we're just going to kind of share more about like the narrative, the stories of our community in which we were conducting some of our research, and in light of some of the policy change work that we're doing. And I'd like to introduce Kaena. He is our CHSS program assistant. He's been with me for
how long? 2 years.
For 2 years now, and doing a lot of the work, groundwork in the community. And so when I talk about the work, we're going to look at some how does this relate to policy change. And so we're looking at big P and little p. That's how the two levels that we look at policy change. So the big P we'll see is, addresses more of the formal policy changes, such as legislation and other changes from the city and county and state level. And then the little p addresses at any level within school, faith-based institutions, organizations, or health departments. And we will be focusing more on the little p change. And so really quickly, these are some of the big P's that we've seen. Policy, one was policy instituted at one of our local clinics, being able to establish the importance of patient screenings and dissemination of information about intimate partner violence. And also a proclamation by our governor on February 14th, $1 billion rising to raise awareness about 10 violence against women all around the world and bring awareness about this issue.
There are also two big policies that were created out of our governor's office. The first being a position that was created in our child welfare division that focuses on domestic violence and how it interacts with child protective services. And the second being a policy that was implemented that establishes a standard for child care providers about about child and partner abuse.
And then, and all of our partners have community partners implemented intimate partner violence and domestic violence into the programs, and also all of our partners increase access to resources of domestic violence materials. And so you see here on our left, ActiveFoley is an organization that we work with. They are an organization that focuses on childhood obesity, and they were able to implement some curriculum on intimate partner violence with the community that they work with. And to the right, we see some students from Namakuli High School. We work with a wrestling coach and who works with women who are athletes, and they have also implemented some of intimate partner violence curriculum into their athletic program. Okay. And then we have also Forever Pono. Forever Pono is an organization that we work with that focuses on economic sustainability. And they have a family tree project, which is a family strengthening program in which they included intimate partner violence or a session dedicated to healthy relationships.
Another one of our partners is La'akea Healing Services. They are a halau ike, or a school of knowledge, and it's run by our partner Ali'i Aveal. And she works with women who have been previously incarcerated or have gone through recovery programs for alcohol and substance abuse. What's unique about her program is she uses Hawaiian culture and hula as a method of intervention. And through her partnership with us, she's been able to screen the women for domestic violence.
And Waipahu High School, we work with one of the a student group, and they presented a PSA in Washington, D.C., incorporating DV into their traffic road safety conference. And also, Miki Nishizawa, who is the president of that club, got a proposition heard at the Hawaii State Legislature. Also, our other nonprofit organization I work with is Made in Hope. It's a faith-based organization that focuses on anti-sex trafficking. And so what they did, they included intimate partner violence into their mission statement and does a lot of work on preventing DV as it relates to anti-human trafficking. And also they were adopted by a local church and are now expanding some of their work in Maui.
Another one of our partners is Bethel Chapel Assembly of God, and they're based in Waipahu on the island of Oahu. They're in a community that is where drugs and violence are not uncommon, and they've been able to implement DV into their ministries. And one of the breakout ministries that they've been able to create is towards youth in their neighborhood, keeping their children off the streets. And they're known as the Court Kings and Queens, and it's a basketball team for the boys and a volleyball team for the girls. They've also created their own campaign that started out of a talk story session that we had with the men in the church. And they've created a campaign called Why Poverty Stronger Than Violence. They've created t-shirts and stickers and have community events. They have freedom walks. That just raises awareness and allows them to take ownership of the issue and stand against violence in their community.
Our other community partner, we work a lot of community partners, we have a lot of community partners, is Love Pono, and they are located at Leeward Community College. Their student-led group focuses on, addresses gender-based violence and intimate partner violence. We implemented a curriculum on healthy relationships, and we started a class in collaboration with one of our professors there on gender-based violence. Oh, okay, and then we have also Hale Na'opono. Hale Na'opono is an organization that focuses on the prevention of childhood abuse. And so they have been very active in creating events in their community about intimate partner violence and domestic violence. This is a Zumba class that they had. This is a local march and sign waving. And this is a candlelight visual that we did in the community.
So under the current grant under the Office of Women, Office for Women's Health, we are in our last year and still currently looking for funding. But we already know that the work will continue in the community. From all of our partners, they're already on their own. They're working on their own sustainability plans and have already taken steps towards that. They're expanding within our other islands and beyond just the Leeward Coast where we work. And so to close, we just want to show you a small clip from that campaign that I spoke about, Why Poverty is Stronger Than Violence.
Sorry.
Join us to make our community a better place, to make our white population stronger than violence.